Nau mai, wairuatapu, haere mai ki kone. Morena, Elijah here, one of the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family of house churches with one oversight and a shepherd's community committed to the work God has called us to. We desire, and I love to remind us of this every week, we desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would we be those that know, practice, and carry the love of Jesus, knowing the love of Jesus in our hearts, practicing it in prayerful community, and carrying it as missionaries into this world? I want to spend a little bit of time in Matthew 15, which we've been reading together, and I'd love to read out Matthew 15, verses 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." They don't do the right thing. And now this washing of their hands is not it wasn't a cleanliness thing. It was doing the right thing, the extra laws that have been written on beyond the Torah. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" Or another way for us to look at it is in what you think is right. "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Placing our view of things over the heart of God. He says, goes on to say, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended by when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." As we heard at our All In from my dad, everything good comes from Jesus. If it's not coming from Jesus, if it's not the thing God's asked us to do, there's no point in engaging. So he says, "Leave them, they are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." So much here, but I just want to hone in on the heart. Yet again, Jesus directs the conversation to the heart, reminding us that true life is not about looking good on the outside, but by surrendering the core of our being, the inside of us, trusting His goodness in place of our own version of goodness. As we know, that is what it means to follow Jesus, a constant repentance and surrender. The heart is the core of a person. It's the starting point for the soul. It's where intention comes from. What gets into the heart shapes us more than anything else on this planet. The heart is your will. And you can either do one of two things with it. Hold it above God or give it to Him. You can't do both. We either surrender our will to Jesus as a response of trust in Him, or we live from our own will and judge God by it. So this is an interesting teaching on the heart, because Jesus says, yes, everything starts from the inside, and that's the core place. And surrender or not surrender is very important. But he doesn't stay there, because he says our whole life flows from our heart. So what goes on, the fruit of our life will flow from our heart. So he's kind of like, will you choose to live your own way with a God stamp attached on it? Like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I do what I want. Or will you choose to live Jesus' way, which is essentially continuing to say, well, God, anything you need me to change, I don't really know how to do it, but I want to go your way. Even if it's hard, even if it costs me everything, I want to go your way, no matter what it means to actually, because my heart is surrendered to you and I trust in your goodness over my own version of goodness. So heart flows into life. The kingdom of heaven from which all true and good things flow starts at the heart of a person. We either say, God, whatever your will is, I say yes. Or we say, if your will fits with what I've already made of my life, then I'll do it. But if not, then I'm not willing. I won't. Many of us, so I've heard many stories as a pastor where people say, I can't do this, I can't do that. And really, when they're saying I can't, the core issue is I won't do that. C.S. Lewis says this: it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. We, as followers of Jesus, are learning to be people of surrender, people who actively trust God each and every day, that rely on His grace, that seek Him. I pray that we would be the type of community that seeks Jesus above all else, which actually means that we change things if they don't line up with the conviction God puts in our heart, to know Him and to walk in His ways. Would that be our one desire? You know, I think Jesus is looking for people with an intention to follow Him. Not an ability, but an intention. That means everything in our lives is up for grabs. We don't hold anything against God because we're learning to trust Him with everything. Which leads me to the question, if we're going to truly follow, what are you holding on to? What am I holding on to? What are we holding on to that we need to trust Him with? A lot of it will do with relationships, views of how we see ourselves or others, forgiveness, family members, money, our time, the church. And can I say, let's not use the argument of ability as a defense mechanism. So like Moses at the burning bush, responding out of our own ability rather than trusting God's ability, His grace. So Moses says, I can't do this because of this, this, this. And God says, I never asked you to do this by yourself. I never asked you to do this in your own strength. I just ask that you would say yes to me and I will be with you and I will help you. And Moses struggled to look beyond his own self to see God. And here's the clincher, and I really pray the Spirit moves in our hearts in this, but in these next few sentences kind of hit me in the heart as I was pondering over this. Jesus isn't asking for us to be good enough. He's asking us to trust that He is enough for us, that He is good enough, that He satisfied, that He satisfies. It's our view of Jesus that keeps us holding on to the things of this world, because we can struggle to trust that He's enough for us. So we go looking for enough in other places. And in His grace and mercy, He calls us to say, no, it's not it. I am enough. Will you trust me? It's not our might or ability that sorts this out. It makes this happen. Change is enabled by the Spirit, but it does rest on our intention. Do we surrender or not? It's not about us doing better or avoiding failure. No, it's about the direction of our lives. What is the direction of your heart? You see, a man that stumbles and falls while he goes the right way is far better off than the man who strides forward in the wrong direction. Don't get caught up in the mistakes you've made. Let's focus on the direction you're going. Let it be towards life and truth and love, towards Jesus. What has gotten in the way, may I ask, of a pure devotion to Christ? What needs to go? It's only in surrender of our hearts that we become the people we were made to be, the people God desires for us to be, the people that deep down we really want to be. And can I just say, in the story of God and in the person of Jesus, there is boundless grace for those willing to receive it. Grace to forgive, grace to help, grace to heal and change and transform. So the question still remains, will we surrender our full hearts day by day to the work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ? So lots of questions, lots to ponder, lots of Spirit. I really pray the Spirit's at work in all of us, in me and in you. And I really pray for a spirit of surrender and trust and that actually flows into how we make decisions with our money, our time, our relationships, our work, our family, whatever. So, but here are three questions that I invite you to consider together as a community. Tahi, what does Jesus want to do with our hearts? What is he able to do? It's the question centered on the person of Jesus. Rua, where is Jesus not enough for you? What has gotten into our hearts that Jesus is asking us to surrender to him? This is a question focused on our response to Jesus. And Toru, what does surrender look like for you? This is a question focused on going forward. To end, thank you, Unite, for your gifts of money and time, committing yourselves to the word and in prayer and the practice of Christ's love and community. We're thankful to Jesus for you. As we do weekly, we just want to stop and consider our money and our treasures before God. Let's offer them up again in worship. Father God, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for the tithes and offerings given to Unite, Lord, for this community, for us to be able to do the things you've called us to do, and as an act of trust and worship in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're leading us, and we trust you as you lead us with money, possessions, time, and choices. You are holy, you are good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And just to finish, you can get in contact with us via our website, unitechurch.org.nz. If you want to listen again to this little teaching, it's on Spotify. If you want to get baptized, contact us or via your neighborhood church shepherd. Family camp is in January. We'll get details out. The Victory Family Day is December the 17th. A little bit on this, from 11 to 3 p.m. It's kind of like an AMP show type thing where there'll be like a prayer stall and a baking stall and like a pig on a spit, and there'll be some bouncy castles and trains. There'll also be a truck with some music, worship music, Christian music, non-Christian music, Christmas carols, and some testimonies in between those, and then there'll be a little gospel message. So we're going to be putting on this baking and cafe, and I'd love for you to get back to me whether you can what half an hour slot you'd love to help and serve tea and coffee and give baking away. And finally, our next all-in is Christmas Day, 9:30 at the hall, when my beautiful wife will be teaching and preaching, which I love to hear and love that God has called us in this way. Okay, to finish, may we rest in the goodness of God. May we trust in Jesus as Lord. May the Holy Spirit form and guide us as we journey together. He's so good at that. May we practice Christ's love and community. May we partner with God in putting the world back together. Above all else, may we know that we are truly and wholly loved by God himself. We're praying for you in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Aroha nui.